All right, good morning, everybody. How are you? My name is Liz Driscoll. I am from NC State. I'm going to be moderating our session today, and I'm so pleased to introduce Mary Meyer, and she's going to give her talk. Thank you.
You don't have to clap, folks. I haven't done anything. You don't have to clap yet. So thanks for coming this morning to day three of the ASHS 2017 meeting. I'm going to talk this morning about an update on Seed Your Future and where we are. It's been 5 years, I think, since we started the initiative of Seed Your Future, so I know many of you are anxious to hear an update about how this is going. So the mission, the whole objective for Seed Your Future is to promote horticulture and inspire people to pursue careers working with plants. This is really a career focus. I'm going to talk a little bit about the structure of Seed Your Future. I don't know if any of you know about what the structure is, but we have a national leadership cabinet, we have an advisory council, and we have an executive director. So the National Leadership Council is chaired by Anna Ball, who's the CEO of Ball Horticultural Company, and Paul Redman, who's the director of Longwood Gardens. Susan Yoder, Susan's here in the audience. Susan's our executive director that was hired just over a year ago. And then we have our advisory council, which is the larger group of folks, and that's chaired by Charlie Hall from Texas A&M. So these are the folks on the National Leadership Cabinet. These people are all wonderful volunteers that are committed to the Seed Your Future mission. So the co-chairs that I mentioned are up there, but you can see the other folks, and you can see the industry that is really committed to this. So we have industry folks. We have some universities that are represented here, but really a broad spectrum of people. So our National Leadership Cabinet is our kind of the leaders for our organization. They are also charged with philanthropy and raising the funds for the initiative. So the Advisory Council, chaired by Charlie Hall, sorry, these names are so small up here, but there are a lot of us on the Advisory Council. I'm on the Advisory Council. John Dole, the current president of ASHS, is on this. Mike Neff is on this. And then we have several other academia people, other people with the Chicago Botanic Garden, Longwood Gardens, other industry people, et cetera. This is more of the boots on the ground folks, the people that are actually doing a lot of the active work, spreading the word about the initiative and contributing to the actual different working groups that we have that work on the initiative. So lots of people really are involved with this. To date, we've had over 150 groups or entities that have supported financially Seed Your Future. So thank you to many of you that are in the audience with your universities that have supported this, or industries, different associations. This is how we have gotten the initiative going, because so many people have agreed to work on it. So Seed Your Future is about everyone understanding the importance and the value of plants. It's about valuing the people that work in the industry, in our broad industry of art, science, technology, and the business of horticulture. This initiative is about parents and educators, having them really understand what horticulture is a career and not shy away from this, but actually encourage students to work in horticulture. And our initiative is about elevating the view of horticulture so people understand that it's a vital, viable, and very diverse career path. We need to build a stronger pipeline of youth, of people coming into our industry. We know that this is really critical for the future of horticulture. So, of course, in academia, as most of us work in academia, we are really interested in research. We want the foundation of Seed Your Future to be based on research. So we have just completed our phase three research, and that's what I'm going to tell you about today. So a few years ago when we started, phase one was looking internally at ourselves, and we had focus groups at ASHS. Some of you may have participated in those. We looked at what we thought internally. Then we looked at Fleischman Hillard, who is doing this work for us, looked at the general public. They looked at what does the general public know and think about horticulture. That was phase two. We've done publications on that. And they have just completed phase three, which is really an analysis of the middle school students, parents, teachers, and guidance counselors. So I'm going to talk specifically about this phase three work. So phase three involved a quantitative online survey, and it also involved the qualitative focus group. So this is the quantitative numbers that you'll see up here. We are targeting the 7th through 9th grade middle schools for this program. We feel that that is the time when students are thinking about careers. They're still open to ideas. They haven't already made a decision. And yet they're far enough along in school that they know it's time to be thinking about this and start seriously thinking about it. So in this survey work, we surveyed 1,000 seventh to ninth graders. We surveyed 1,000 parents, and it was actually 501 teachers, and 200 guidance counselors. So that was the big part of the survey. The second part, the qualitative, the focus groups, we did focus groups with these groups that are listed up here, rural and urban focus groups. The total number was 80 individuals in these focus groups for all of the focus groups. But the focus groups, I participated in one of these. These were virtual. Sometimes they were in person, but a lot of them were virtual. It was really interesting to be in a focus group with 6 or 8 middle school students. They're on their computers, and of course at this age, you know, think about this. Would you as a parent let your, you know, 12-year-old or 13-year-old do a survey with a national company? You'd be wondering, what the heck is this about, right? So we did see parents hovering in the background, watching what their kids were doing. And of course, the kids are doing, you know, whatever. But anyway, it was really, we definitely got the answers from the students. So this, you might know, those of you who teach and work with young people, our students today that we deal with, they can be very passionate about what they're interested in. They want to do something to change the world. I teach a freshman seminar, and I was awed this year when I asked the students individually about their career plans and so on. 3 students out of 20 said, "I am going to do something that changes the world. I have this idea for food and blah, 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 blah." And it's really, it's just heartening to hear what they say, because they really do have a passion for wanting to do something. And we think horticulture could really fill this niche. But students really want to be creative. They want to see the impact of their world. It's very heartening. Now, of these 80 people that were the focus group, there was no one in this group that really, of the youth, there was no one that knew the word horticulture. So we have a very low awareness with youth, with what horticulture really is. Now, the parents and the teachers, they had more of an understanding on this, but the youth really didn't. And so we talked to them about what it meant, and they said, yeah, but they didn't like this word at all. You know, they didn't like it. So they were asked to pick their title for what should this be called instead of horticulture. So we have to face the fact that horticulture means very little to youth today. And other words, which we'll talk about in a minute, can mean much more. So the words that they liked and that they came up with were plant science, plant scientist, plantology, plantologist. Those were words that resonated more with them, that the students actually suggested that we think about using those. So I'm going to give you the opportunity now, just as Susan did the other day, yesterday when we talked, to take out your name tag and write on your name tag what other word you would like to be known as, other than a horticulturist. So you guys, you can write that. I still like that word. But this is an example from the APGA meeting where Susan did this talk and gave people the opportunity to name themselves something else. So Amanda, in this case, named herself Plant Master. So we know that students want more than a career that offers a paycheck. They want to be creative, and they want to impact the world. So we just have to show them that horticulture is a way they can do this. Parents, we found, have a very narrow view of the field of horticulture. So they have this very limited view that maybe it's only landscaping. They know nothing really about what the broader science is, what most of us are working with. So we need to really broaden the view of parents. Teachers, they knew kind of what horticulture was, but they said, look, we're not doing this at all. We're not doing anything with horticulture in our middle and high school. They came up with ideas about how it could be integrated into the curriculum. There are plenty of opportunities. They came up with ideas with their school gardens, with math and so on, where it could be integrated, but they don't really readily have the tools. So Scholastic is the way we are going to use, that's the venue that we're going to use to get into the school systems. That is a highly regarded program throughout the United States, and it's used by teachers. We have found this from our research information. So the Scholastic materials is the way we will distribute the horticulture activities. No teacher in our focus groups had encountered a student who was interested in the field of horticulture. So they knew what it was. Teachers kind of knew what it was, but knew nobody who was interested in it. But they could make these connections that where it could apply easily. So our goal here has to be providing materials for the teachers and tying it in. We found that counselors are not really the place to go with this information. They are too busy with other things and don't do much career counseling, so we probably will not be doing much with counselors. But we know the information source that people are using is the internet. It's basically online for students, for parents and teachers especially, so our materials need to be really strong on the internet, showing lots of resources and the huge diversity of careers. So we know we have to use things, words that resonate, messages that describe how horticulture can impact and change the world. We have to stress the diversity of the jobs in horticulture and talk about how many jobs are available. Who is the right spokesperson for doing this? So if you have any ideas, let me know, let Susan Yoder know. We're looking for the right spokesperson because this means a lot for young people. And we want to give the tools to teachers that will help them with their curriculum. So the educational plan, the marketing and advocacy plan now will be coming up in the next year. We have finished the research. We have enough information that we can move ahead and feel we have a good way to make a difference with this. So what you can do is you can say that you love your plant job. You can go out here and take a picture at the selfie table with the I Love My Plant Job. You can put this online. You can change the name of what you're calling yourself. But there's a lot that you can do to be involved with this, and thank you for all the support that you've done through your own universities or ASHS. We have 2 minutes for questions, right?
Yes.
Science fairs are a national program. What kind of interaction do we anticipate? We haven't specifically targeted that because they are run really on a local basis or a state basis, but that's a great venue for us to deal with. Right now in Minnesota, we as individual faculty on our own go and judge those science fairs or help with those, but that's certainly a way we can look at to get to young people. I personally, when I have done career tours in Minnesota, I tend to have teachers bring their low-achieving students for the career tours because their perception is so limited of horticulture. Finding high-achieving students, the AP students and so on, I think the science fair is a good venue to locate those students. Yep, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yep.